Na chasya kaschin nupunena dhatur. Aveti jantu kumanisha ayuti. Namani rupani manovachobhi. Santan vatonata charyam vivagya. Na, not. Cha, and. Asya, of him. Kaschit, anyone. Nipunena, by dexterity. Dhatu, of the Creator. Avaiti, can know. Jantu, the living being. Kumanisha, with a poor fund of knowledge. Yuti, activities of the Lord. Namani, his names. Rupani, his forms. Manavachobhi, by dint of mental speculation or deliverance of speeches. Santanavata, displaying natacharyam, a dramatic action, eva, like agya, the foolish. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The foolish, with a poor fund of knowledge, cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. Nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words. Srila Prabhupada's purport. No one can properly describe the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, it is said that He is beyond the expression of mind and speech. And yet, there are some men with a poor fund of knowledge who desire to understand the Absolute Truth by imperfect mental speculation and faulty description of His activities. To the layman, His activities, appearance and disappearance, His names, His forms, His paraphernalia, His personalities, and all things in relation with Him are mysterious. There are two classes of materialists, namely the fruitive workers and the empiric philosophers. The fruitive workers have practically no information of the Absolute Truth, and the mental speculators, after being frustrated in fruitive activities, turn their faces towards the Absolute Truth and try to know Him by mental speculation. And for all these men, the Absolute Truth is a mystery, as the jugglery of the magician is a mystery to children. Being deceived by the jugglery of the Supreme Being, the non-devotees, who may be very dexterous in fruitive work and mental speculation, are always in ignorance. With such limited knowledge, they are unable to penetrate into the mysterious region of transcendence. The mental speculators are little more progressive than the gross materialists or the fruitive workers, but because they are also within the grip of illusion, they take it for granted that anything which has form, a name, and activities is but a product of material energy. For them, the Supreme Spirit is formless, nameless, and inactive. And because such mental speculators equalize the transcendental name and form of the Lord with mundane names and form, they are in fact in ignorance. With such a poor fund of knowledge, there is no access to the real nature of the Supreme Being. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is always in a transcendental position, even when he is within the material world. But ignorant men consider the Lord one of the great personalities of the world, and thus they are misled by the illusory energy. Om Jnan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Ahang Bande Sri Gurun Dinotari Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nachasya kaschin nipunena tatu ravaiti jantu kumanisha yuti namani rupani mano vachobi santan vatonata charyam nivagya. So these verses of the Bhagavatam in the Sanskrit language are always sung. In the spiritual world, every word is a song. Every step is a dance. Every thought is a thought of love. Every act is an act of devotion. And those who are in the spiritual realm, in other words, those who have spiritual consciousness, though they may be in this so-called material world, they are in it but not of it. The example is given of the lotus. The seed of the lotus is in the mud at the bottom of the pond of water. And it sprouts, comes out of the mud, goes through the water, rises above the water, and blossoms into a beautiful lotus flower. Therefore, it's in the water, but not touched by the water. In fact, the lotus flower and the lotus leaf can't even get wet. They're perfectly dry. If you put it in the water and bring it out, it remains completely dry. Can't get wet. Can't be touched by the water. So the pure devotees, though they may be in the material realm, cannot be touched by the material energy. That's why they are compared to lotus flowers, or compared also to swans. The swan, the hamsa in Sanskrit, is a bird, a beautiful bird, that has the ability to, if you pour milk into water, will only take the milk and leave the water behind. Similarly, great souls, pure devotees, are compared to paramhamsas, supreme hamsas, in that they can just see the spiritual, they take the spiritual and leave the material behind. So what to speak of human beings, the Supreme Lord, when he comes to this realm, is also not touched by the realm, not influenced at all by material energy. So here, Suta Goswami is explaining that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. He goes through various incarnations, and then he describes different qualities of the Lord. And now he's coming to the conclusion that who can know the Lord and who can't know the Lord? People who are foolish, they cannot know the transcendental nature, the forms, names, and activities of the Lord. Who are the foolish people? Those who have a poor fund of knowledge. In other words, those who are in ignorance are foolish. Why are they in ignorance? Because they don't study the Shastra under the tutelage of a pure devotee guru coming in parampara. Therefore, they express their understanding based on speculation and what they hear in different places. I remember having a discussion once with one person in India, and they were saying quite some outlandish things, and I said, "Where do you get this understanding?" "Oh, here and there. Here and there. Here and there." I said, "Have you studied the Shastra?" "No." "Would you go to a hospital and have a doctor operate on you who got his knowledge here and there?" "No." They agreed with that mind. But because they are thinking that they know something, they speculate. And what they hear here and there, they repeat. It's a very strange thing about religion that you don't see in any other form of knowledge. That without studying, without having any connection to the deep truths, everyone figures they know everything about religion. No one would say that about computer science. You have to study it. No one would say that about medicine. You have to study it. No one would say that about accounting. No one would say that about engineering. Everybody knows that you have to study these things. But religion, we don't have to study. We already know. This is amazing. This is absolutely mind-boggling why people think like this. Because they're foolish. Therefore, they can never, ever understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's form, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Prasad, the teachings of Sri Krishna, the associates of Sri Krishna. They can never, ever enter into that understanding. Why can they never enter into that understanding? Is because ye yatamam prapadyante tam stitaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna explains his philosophy of life. Everybody has a philosophy of life. This is Krishna's. That as they approach me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. So if we approach with love and devotion, being trained up by a pure devotee coming in parampara, Krishna reciprocates according to our understanding, according to our level of devotion. And for those who are mental speculators and think that the Lord is impersonal and that his name and his form are equal to any other material name or form, then Krishna reciprocates on that level so that they believe that it's true. Avajananti, mamudha, what's the word? Avajananti mamudha. That these people, they are like fools. They consider that my form and my transcendental nature and my birth in this material world is just like their birth. Now, let's look at this. This is what's called Mayavad. If the Supreme Lord comes into the material energy and then is conditioned by the material energy, it means two things. Number one, that the material energy is stronger, more powerful than the spiritual energy. And it also means, therefore, that the Lord is not supreme because illusion is supreme. How anybody can maintain a position like that, that illusion is more powerful than reality, is beyond my understanding. However, it explains that these people are foolish with a poor fund of knowledge, and it doesn't even register, they don't even make the connection that their conclusion is completely illogical and contradictory. One time I was in Rishikesh and I met a nice gentleman, and he had this opinion that the Supreme is formless. So I said to him, well, he said that everything comes from the formless. So all the forms that we see, they originate in the formless. So I said to him, can you give me an example of that? He couldn't give me an example. So I said that actually it's the other way around. From the form comes the formless. And I can give you many examples of it. He was surprised. So I gave him several examples. I said, from the sun, which has a form, comes the sunshine, which is formless and goes everywhere, all over the universe. From a flower, which has form, comes the fragrance, which is formless. And from a human being who has a form, he speaks, and the sound vibration is formless. So I gave various examples like that. And then he was stunned. And then he began to smile. It was like he had just had a realization, like a wow experience, you know. And he appreciated that. And it kind of changed his consciousness. Because they can't give the example of the reverse. So we can see that people who have a poor fund of knowledge, they simply speculate and they pass on the speculation from one to another without even realizing the contradiction therein or the illogical nature that from the akar, from the nirakar comes the akar, from the formless comes the form. And that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to this material realm, he's completely conditioned by the material energy. So, these people, they can never enter into the pastimes of the Lord. Now, who can enter into the pastimes of the Lord? Who can understand the name, form, qualities and pastimes and associates and teachings and Mahaprasad of the Lord? Who can understand that? Because in the purport, the first line Prabhupada says is, no one can properly describe the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth. So no one means 99.999%. But in the very next verse, Sutta Goswami explains the 0.01%. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, they have access to understand. So what is this unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the Supreme Lord? That is the unmotivated devotional service. Unmotivated means I'm not doing it to receive some benefit for myself. There's no motive why I'm doing it. The only reason that I'm doing it is out of love. The only reason I'm doing it is for your benefit, out of love. When you love somebody, you want to do something for them. If you don't love somebody, it's very difficult to do something for them. So, pure devotional service is unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahoituki oprotiyata. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Therefore, Prabhupada said that the love of the mother for the child is the closest thing in this world to the pure devotional service, to Krishna Prema. Because her love is unmotivated. It's only for the benefit of the child and uninterrupted, 24 hours. In America, they say that a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. It's 24 hours. And that's what devotional service should be like, 24 hours. Constantly serving the Lord, thinking of the Lord, discussing about the Lord, hearing about the Lord, engaging in any type of service, and there's 9 paths of devotional service, so that we can remain always in constant association or connection to the Lord. We want to always be connected to Him, because when we're connected to Krishna, we're connected to the spiritual energy. And when we're not connected, then we become overpowered by the material energy. And Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that a sailboat who's sailing along the water, if a heavy wind comes, it just takes control of the boat and just blows it wherever. I experienced this directly. 1976, there was a party called the Nittai Padakamalan Transcendental Sankirtan Party, and we traveled down the Ganga on a boat going village to village. And on this boat we had our deities Nittai and Gauranga. And we would come into a village late afternoon or so. We'd bring the deities out on their palanquin, and we'd have a kirtan into the town, into the village, which could only be accessed by boat. These were the remote villages on the Ganga. And many of them didn't have any roads. The only access was by water. One devotee had a basket, and we would chant and we would distribute Prabhupada's Gitar Gan, which was Prabhupada's poetic Bhagavad Gita in Bengali language, all poetry, rhyming couplets, the entire Gita and rhyming couplets in Bengali. We would distribute these, and then the village people would give a donation. Usually they'd give rice or dal or vegetables in the basket that we had. And they would offer puja, throw water on our feet, and they loved it. Because it was like Columbus coming to America. You hear these white sadhus all of a sudden entering into their village chanting Hare Krishna. I remember one little boy who became a devotee, and I brought him to Mayapur, and he joined the Gurukula there. Now he's married, a regular devotee. But later on, after many years, he told me that when he first saw me, he thought I was from Chandraloka, from the moon, because he'd never seen a white person before. So that's what we would do. And then, after we finished the kirtan and everything, and we'd go back to the boat, and whatever was in the basket, that's what we would cook up, and that would be our meal. So we just subsisted on Krishna's mercy. Then we'd rest that night. In the morning, after the morning program, or even during the morning program, because we had 3 sailors who were taking care of the boat for us. Then we go down the Ganga further and stop at another village. We discovered that the villages that had no electricity and no cinema were the best villages. People were the most receptive. And the villages that had a cinema, they were the most difficult to penetrate. They couldn't care less. They were completely in material consciousness. But the innocent people who were living living close to nature, they were completely inspired. And they were had a very devotional mood. So the material energy covers us. Krishna has 3 shaktis. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matas mrityur ganam apohanam cha. Sarvasya chaham. I am situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanivishto. I am situated hridi in everyone's heart. Matasmritir jnanam apoanam cha. And from me comes smriti, remembrance, jnan, knowledge, and apohan, forgetfulness. So, the remembrance potency comes from Krishna, and the knowledge, the understanding comes from Krishna, and forgetfulness also comes from Krishna. So these three shaktis, Krishna controls our consciousness from within the heart. So we can, there's two paths. One is the path of devotion to the Supreme Lord. The other path is devotion to sense gratification, indriya tripti. Those who are devotees, Krishna unleashes his smriti shakti so that they can remember. They remember that I am spirit soul, that I'm not this body, that I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They remember that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. They remember the teachings of the spiritual master. They remember the activities and the shastra. So he gives them this shakti to remember. To the other group of people, the 99%, 99.99%, who are into indriya tripti, sense gratification, he gives the apohan shakti. He covers them completely so they don't remember who is God. They don't remember that they're spirit soul. They don't remember anything of shastra. They don't remember anything of spiritual truth. They're completely covered so that they can enjoy sense enjoyment, sense gratification, thinking that I'm the body and I'm the supreme enjoyer and that everything revolves around me. Why does Krishna do that? Because Krishna fulfills the desires of every living entity. So if a living entity wants to forget Krishna, Krishna says, okay, no problem. You want to enjoy sense gratification? Yes, you can do. For the devotees, we don't want that. We just want to connect back to Krishna. So he gives us the smriti shakti so that we can remember. Now to both groups, he gives the jnan shakti, the knowledge. So to the devotees, he gives the sambandha jnan, the knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, the knowledge of our relationship with the Vaishnavas, the knowledge of our relationship to the innocent people, and the knowledge of our relationship to the demons. So our relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of worship, and we worship the Lord. Our relationship with the other Vaishnavas is one of friendship, and we become friends with the devotees. The relationship with the innocent people is compassionate, and we go out and we try to bless them and give them Krishna consciousness, either through hearing the holy name of the Lord or getting some prasad or just by getting good association. And our relationship with the demons is that we, the envious people, we keep our distance. We're polite, good day, goodbye, thank you very much. That's it. We don't get involved with them. So we get that knowledge. That knowledge is called sambandha jnana. And abhideya means applying that knowledge in our daily activities. We live according to this understanding. And the ultimate goal, prayojan, is we develop pure love for Krishna. And that the symptom of that you have love for Krishna is that you have love for the devotees. You can't love Krishna without loving the devotees. Just like if you meet some parents and you don't like their kid, they're not going to like you. But if you love their kid, they love you. Now for the non-devotees, he also gives them knowledge. He gives them whatever knowledge they're interested in, material knowledge, computer knowledge, accounting knowledge, engineering knowledge, whatever knowledge. And for the scientists and philosophers, he gives them the knowledge to prove that God doesn't exist. So all their philosophy, all their logic and reasoning that God doesn't exist comes from Krishna. And for us, all the knowledge and logic and reasoning that God does exist also comes from Krishna. So in this way, he's fulfilling everybody's desire. And the devotees at least understand that it's coming from Krishna. And the non-devotees, they think it's coming from them. I am so intelligent. I'm able to explain, you know, evolution and how the universe was created spontaneously out of nothing, etc., etc. So, Prabhupada says in the purport here that because the mental speculators equalize the transcendental name and form of the Lord with mundane names and forms, therefore they are in fact in ignorance. And with such a poor fund of knowledge, there is no access to the real nature of the Supreme. So the devotees, on the other hand, they always understand that the Lord is always in a transcendental position, even when he comes to the material world to display his pastimes. But the ignorant men, when they see the Lord coming here to display his pastimes, they are thinking that he is just like them. And therefore they come to the conclusion that he is a great historical figure, but not God. And thus they are misled every step of the way by the illusory energy. Misled by the illusory energy means you think you know it all. The devotees, they understand we know nothing. Whatever we know, it's only by the mercy of Krishna. So, this verse, where Sutta Goswami is explaining that the foolish with a poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord. They can't even know what is transcendence. The word transcendence, they know, but the meaning as applied, the application of the meaning, they can't understand. Because they don't have any experience of anything transcendent to this material world. So, they can neither express such things, they can neither understand such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words. And the only reason that we can express these things is because we have come to take up the process of devotional service. And to the extent that our devotional service is unmotivated and uninterrupted, to that extent we can understand. So if I'm completely unmotivated and the service is completely uninterrupted, then I can get a complete understanding. That complete understanding, of course, is not equal to Krishna's complete understanding. That is not possible. But our complete understanding is what we are capable of understanding. So we're able to understand to our full capacity, which compared to Krishna is very insignificant. Certain things we can never understand because we're locked into three-dimensional time and space. So anything higher dimensional, we can't fully grasp it or understand it. We simply have to accept it on faith. We accept it on Shraddha. Shraddha means faith based on understanding and hearing coming down through the parampara. That's Shraddha. Faith based on understanding, by being connected to the Supreme Truth. And blind faith, andhavishwas, means you have faith in something without a connection to the parampara. So the devotees, to the extent that they're connected to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, they can understand to that extent, and no more, no less. Therefore, what should we be doing? We should be becoming more and more serious, more and more dedicated, more and more committed to living the teachings In other words, become living truth. That what I think and what I say and what I do is all connected to Krishna. When we first come to the movement, what I think, what I say, and what I do are three different things. And they're connected only to material sense enjoyment. But there's a transformation that takes place, which is called purification. And so we study the book Bhagavat in order to become the person Bhagavat. Prabhupada, every word he spoke, every thought that came from his mind, every act he did was in full accord with the Bhagavatam, fully connected to Krishna. He was living truth, he was the person Bhagavat. And we're meant to come to that platform too. He didn't give us this knowledge for us not to come to that level. He gave us that knowledge for us to come to that level so that the parampara system can go on to the next generation. It's now in our hands. If we don't come up to the standard, the parampara system stops and the next generation of people will be bereft of Prabhupada's teachings. And we will have cheated Prabhupada because he gave us this knowledge to hand over to the next generation and they to the next generation so that the parampara system can carry on uninterruptedly. Now we know yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata that Krishna comes again and again to reestablish the parampara system because it becomes broken. Now, do we want to be the ones that break it? That's our situation. Do you want to take responsibility for passing it on? Or do you want to be the one that stopped it? Choice is ours. Krishna gives us freedom of choice. All of you here, you're in this room today because you want to carry on the parampara. You want to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada. You want to perfect your life and go back home, back to Godhead. That's why you're here today. Am I right? Yes? Someone said no? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. That's the main reason why you're here today. But there's two reasons why you're here today. There's another reason. Who knows the other reason why you're here today? The second reason why you're here today is because in your last life you were unsuccessful. You failed. You took birth again. You didn't go back to Godhead. And here you are trying one more time. Or how many more times? Who can say? Don't make the same mistake again. Don't come back in the next life. Because you'll never get a better opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, than you have right now in this life. When Prabhupada was just here, and Prabhupada's disciples are still here. So you have such a close connection to Prabhupada. If you fail in this life and take birth again in a future life, there'll be no Prabhupada disciples left. And Prabhupada himself will be some saint way back in the 20th century. You won't have a better opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead then. This is the best chance you'll ever get, that you've ever had in your past and that you'll ever get in the future. So if you don't make it in this lifetime, what hope do you have? So, why don't we rededicate ourselves and recommit ourselves to this process and make Srila Prabhupada proud of us and give Prabhupada the greatest gift that you can ever give him by going back home, back to Godhead and saying, I made it. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Yes.
You're describing here by devotional service, one gains knowledge.
Well, Krishna gives knowledge.
Krishna gives knowledge.
Yeah. We sing it every day. Chakudana dilaye janme janme prabhu se divya gyan hriday prakashita. The divine knowledge becomes manifest in our heart.
And that applies to understanding Krishna, Krishna's devotees, devotees. Sometimes we see, as even in the case of Srila Prabhupada, that his godfathers, who were performing devotional service, some of them, you know, quite distinctly failed to recognize, you know, his qualities and advancement.
There's a reason for that.
Yes. There's a two-part question. One is, of course, that tends to appear also in Islam.
Yep.
We have godfathers, and sometimes, you know, and you would have seen, no doubt, of course, because you started from very early in the movement and you've seen your godfathers mature or on the way. So, how do we see the godfathers? We sometimes see them as junior and then they're doing wonderful service, and we may still treat them as junior. In fact, we should be treating them as, you know, advanced devotees.
Well, we should be treating everybody as Prabhu. This is what we were taught. Everybody is Prabhu. I am Das, 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 Anudas. Everyone else is Prabhu. So if someone walks into the temple for the first time on a Sunday feast, he's still Prabhu, and I'm still his servant. It's not that he's junior, he doesn't know nothing, and I know it all. That's illusion. But why did Prabhupada's godbrothers not recognize him, and why do some of our own godbrothers not recognize us? Perhaps that's the question that we should focus on. So let's look at why Prabhupada's godbrothers had difficulty recognizing his qualities. Now, not all of them had difficulty recognizing his qualities. That should be understood. But most of them did. And there's a reason for it. Because during the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when the Gaudiya Math was at its most potent position, who was Srila Prabhupada? He was what we call today a congregational member. He was a householder. He had a business. He would come to the temple, you know, on Sundays and, you know, after work. So he was never a GBC. He was never a temple president. He wasn't a sannyasi. He never became a guru within the Gaudiya Math. So it's very difficult for them to understand, how did this congregational member become the Jagat Guru, the one who fulfilled Lord Chaitanya's mission? How did he figure that one out? He was never a part of he was just an outsider, congregational member. So you could understand why they were perplexed. But after he left his body, and they realized, he did it. He did do it. And they came to the conclusion, Shaktivesh Avatar. He was empowered by Krishna. And Prabhupada always used to quote this one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kali kaler dharma harinam sankirtan Krishna shakti vina nahitar pravartan. That the yuga dharma of this age is harinam sankirtan. But without being empowered by Krishna, no one can spread the Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada never took credit, but he said it's all being done by Krishna. By Krishna Shakti. Krishna's doing it. So then his godbrothers realized, wow, it's true. Even though he was a householder, lived outside, had a business, Dave's Pharmaceuticals, that was the name of his business. He fulfilled Lord Chaitanya's mission. He was empowered by Krishna. So it's difficult for sannyasis to grasp that. Because Sarvupadi Vinir Muktam, Rupa Goswami explains that what we want to do is give up all these material designations. brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, these are all material designations. It's relating to the position of the body in the social milieu, in the material world. But if someone's thinking, now I'm a sannyasi, that I'm in a higher position, or I'm a temple president, or I'm a GBC, and I'm more advanced than the others, that's illusion. Why is it illusion? Because the constitutional position of every living entity is das, 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 anu das. And as soon as you forget that you're the servant of every living entity, then you're no longer in your constitutional position. And what's the Sanskrit word for when you're not in your constitutional position? Maya. That's the Sanskrit word. That which is not. So this is the problem with pratishtha, with getting an upadhi, a title, that you start believing it. Oh, I am a GBC, I am a sannyasi, I am a guru, I am this or I am that. Many times, Prabhupada was asked by reporters, are you the guru of the Hare Krishna movement, the Hare Krishnas? He was asked that many times. You know what his answer was? I'm not the guru of anyone. I'm everyone's servant. That was Prabhupada's answer. Prabhupada was fixed in the truth. He wasn't in any illusion that I'm this, that, or the next thing. So even amongst our own God brothers now, unless they come to the transcendental understanding of das, 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 anu das, if they're thinking that I am this upadhi, this title that I've been given, or this social designation that I've assumed, and therefore I'm in a more advanced position, that's an illusion. Because never in any shastra that we ever read has any Vaishnava ever come to the conclusion that I'm more advanced than someone else. The Vaishnava is always thinking that I'm your servant and you're more advanced than me. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so all these devotees are approaching the advanced devotees and saying, you please instruct me. They ask questions and they get answers. And these advanced devotees say that I have heard this from so and so. They don't even say that I'm advanced. The only reason I can say it is because I heard this from another person. Sutta Goswami, who's speaking this verse, he explains that I heard this from Shukdev Goswami. Not coming from me. It's coming down in the Parampara system, and I will repeat to you for your benefit what I heard for my benefit. So that's the truth. That's what we call Krishna consciousness. So we have to come to that level. And when we don't come to that level, then we see everybody as a body. And we judge them according to the color of their dress. You're wearing saffron, you're one level. You wear white, you're another level. You have a female body, you're a different level. You're a child body, you're a different level. We're on this bodily concept of life. Atmavat manyate jagat. In Sanskrit, Prabhupada taught us that as you see yourself, you see the entire universe. So if I see the entire universe as bodies, it means I'm seeing myself as a body. I'm on the bodily concept of life. Prabhupada saw everyone as spirit soul because he saw himself as spirit soul. Atmavat manyate jagat. So how do we solve this problem so that we can actually see beyond the body, beyond the dress, what Prabhupada called skin disease? And I've thought about it. Here's my latest strategy. You have to write out, I am not this body, in bold letters. I am servant of the servant of the servant. And you stick it on your mirror. So the first thing you do when you wake up and go into the bathroom and look in the mirror, you see it immediately. Boom. And then you're fixed in that consciousness. Otherwise, if that's not there, you go into the bathroom, you look into the mirror, and you think, that's me. Oh, I look terrible this morning. Oh, I've got wrinkles, and I need a shave, or whatever. then you're conditioning yourself for the bodily concept of life all day. So this is how you condition yourself for this spiritual concept of life. Immediately, as soon as you walk in there, you see it. I am not this body. And then you look in the mirror and say, okay, the body needs a shave. Not me. So, did that answer the question?
Yes.
Thank you. Nice question. How do you go? In the shloka? He's playing like an actor. The Lord is playing like an actor. He comes into the material world and he displays his pastimes like an actor in a drama. So, devotional service is like that. All of us are acting like Vaishnavas. We may not be Vaishnavas. Internally, what we think or what we say or what we do during the day may not be Vaishnava-like. But we're acting like we're Vaishnavas. So that also applies to us. This whole tattva of devotional service is like a actor in a drama. So you, for example, supposing you're going to do a play for the Sunday feast or for our festival day, and let's say you're Lord Chaitanya. You practice your lines and you go on stage and you're Lord Chaitanya. But as soon as you come off the stage, you're just you. So we're acting like we're Vaishnavas. Prabhupada's told us how to act like a Vaishnava. What you say, what you do, what you think, what you eat, what you read, everything is like a Vaishnava. But we're not yet Vaishnavas. By acting like a Vaishnava, you become a Vaishnava. So this applies in all situations. But not, you know, but it applies to devotional service. So, but here it says the names, forms, and activities of the Lord who is playing like an actor in a drama. He's also, when he comes to the material world, playing as if he's one of us. But he's not one of us. He's the Supreme Lord. But he's acting as if he's one of us. So Arjuna was thinking that Krishna's my friend. And we're buddies and we do things together and we hang out. But then, when Krishna explained to him who he really was, and Arjuna says, well, if you say that, you know, who you are, then can you show me your universal form? So Krishna shows the Vidat Rupa. And then Arjuna is terrified. Oh my God. Please, just come back to your form as Krishna, that I know you. And please forgive me for thinking of you as an equal, for thinking of you as a friend. And you know, he begged forgiveness. I didn't realize who you really were. So Krishna is acting also like one of us. But we have to see that he's just acting. And he sees that we're just acting too. Until we come to the platform where we're actually devotees. I remember when Prabhupada gave Brahman initiation, he said, this does not mean you are a Brahmin. Now you can become a Brahmin. And when he gave sannyas, he said, this does not mean you are a sannyasi. Now become a sannyasi. But higher than a Brahmin and higher than a sannyasi, Prabhupada explained, is Vaishnava. So we want to become Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnavas have the highest standard, Prabhupada said. He instructed us. No one has a higher standard than a Vaishnava. No one is more clean than a Vaishnava. No one is more humble than a Vaishnava. No one is more compassionate and kind than a Vaishnava. We have to come to the highest standard because that is Vaishnava. So we're acting like that, hoping to become that. That's the process. Nice question. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions from the Vaishnavis?